Me
Zoe did a wonderful job. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jonas, can you come help us take up our offering? Praise God. You can come down here without no shoes.
Amen. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us. And let us have a good service. And bless the tithes and offering in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just right before Brother Wade comes out, let's sing this song once, page 116 in the Spiral Book, The Lifeboat. We'll just sing a few verses from that. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather his jewels home. The question is, are you one of those jewels? Amen. I hope you are. I hope you want to be.
Glory.
Amen. We're floating.
floating down the stream of time. We have not long to stay. The stormy clouds of darkness will turn to brightest day. Then let us all take courage, for we're not left alone. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Sometimes the devil tempts me and says it's all in vain to try to live a Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. But then we hear the Master say, I'll lend you a helping hand. Hallelujah. And if you'll only trust me, I'll guide you to that land. Let's stand to our feet. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Oh, now's the time to get on board while she is passing by. But if you stand and wait too long, you shall forever die. The fare is paid for one and all. The captain bids you to come. Then get on board the lifeboat. She'll carry you safely home. Oh, hallelujah. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels. Once again, that chorus. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Where trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather his jewels home.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. I believe that's what's happened with Brother Ray. He's gathered one more jewel home. Amen. Praise God. We were at Subway and And I was telling the ladies there, because Brother Ray and Sister Kathy always went to Subway after the morning service, and they didn't know that Brother Ray passed away. I said, do you remember the short brother that comes through here with the lady with the really white hair? She said, yeah, well, he passed away. And they felt so bad, felt so sad. I said, please tell the family, we say, send our condolences. So he made an even impact, even at Subway, see? So you can make an impact wherever you go, amen? Praise God. Are you ready for the word? Amen. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Wade comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. Jesus, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Yes, amen.
Holy, holy, holy.
By the new birth, you have become holy, holy, holy. Not something we just speak about. It's something that we're to live. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. High and lifted up. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here today this afternoon. God bless you with the love of the Lord. I want to thank all of you that came yesterday to the memorial service for Brother Ray, that you showed your support. To Sister Kathy and Brother Ray's family, and we want to thank you for the effort that you put forth by coming to the memorial service. It was a wonderful time. Wasn't sad. We know parting is sweet sorrow, but we know one thing's for sure. He's not going to want to come back here. We just got to make sure, as David said, I can't do anything about my child now, but I got to make sure that I go where he is. Amen. So that's our job, and our mandate is to either, if we have to pass away, go where he's at, or stay alive and remain and bring him back here. Amen. So that's my contention, is that we're going to do that. Somebody will. Amen. Somebody's going to do that. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Aaron's preaching Wednesday night. Brother Bob is at Blue Ridge. He's probably on his way back by now. I think they just have one service. Just pray for him. Remember, May the 1st, as we were talking about this morning, will be the Bible study downstairs from 6 to 8 o'clock in the big room. We're going to start that back again. And also we'll have communion that Sunday, May the 2nd. All right. Then May the 9th, Sunday school will commence with all the people going. If you don't know where your child needs to go or where you need to go, you need to ask Brother Boyd, Sister Monica when she gets here, Sister Anna Roberts, and Sister Rachel Canada where you're supposed to be. They have the list. Now, I'm going to be gone. Brother Dutch Scott asked me to preach for him. He's not going to be there that Sunday. So I'm going to go minister for him. That is Mother's Day. But also, we don't have a big enough space for me to do my Sunday school class yet, so we will not be doing my adult Sunday school class until we figure out what we're going to do. So if that's okay with everybody, we'll just maybe postpone that for another weekend, just for my Sunday school class. But Brother Boyd, Sister Anna, Sister Rachel, Sister Monica, your class will be not this coming Sunday, but the next Sunday, May the 9th, all right? So, and if you have children, you need to instruct them in where to go. Like I said, if you don't know where to go, ask one of the teachers and they'll tell you where they need to go. Also remember June the 16th through the 19th. Boy, it's coming up. May's pretty quick upon us and this year's about gone. So June the 16th won't be very long, but that'll be our Father's Day fishing trip. Brother Ronnie Long and Brother Chris Long will be with us. And then on July the 3rd and 4th, Brother Jewel Forney and Brother Mike Oltig will be here for our 50th anniversary meeting Saturday night and Sunday, and we'll have a dinner after that. Everybody all right with that?
Amen.
Amen. That's all the announcements. If you would, turn your Bibles to Hebrews 9. We'll continue on with the message of eternal redemption. I know I'm going at it slow, but I'm trying not to get ahead. Sister Julie likes my charts, so you got yours with you? No. Oh. Huh? Oh. She's mumbling under her mask. Okay. I have plenty up here. I have plenty. If y'all need some more, just get. She wanted one last Sunday.
I didn't get it for you.
I know you didn't. I know you. And it's on tape. And I cannot believe you walked up this close to the front. Yeah. Without fainting. Brother Gary, I wish I was humble like him, but I just can't. I'm just not that way. I just can't. God made one, and that's about it. So thank God. I'm talking about me, not him. So everybody say amen.
Amen.
Hebrews 9:11. And we're going to read and continue on with our thought. Pick up a little extra thought today. We talk about perfect love, but I came upon a quote. And I know the time is accelerating. If you're not reading your Bible and studying more and reading the prophet's message more, then you are backslid. Because we listen to sermons and we read and we do our daily devotion and we continue to keep on reading. And you know, I've probably read this message 20 times and I didn't see this till just the other day. So that's just the way God works. But you know what? If you'd never read it again, you say, well, I didn't get anything out of that the first time. Well, read it a second time. And a third time, you'll get something out of it. Because you know what? His word will not return void. It will accomplish exactly what it said it would do. All right? And it will be in his decreed time and its decreed season. All right? So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the season of adoption, or we're also looking at the season of culminating. You can't really culminate eternal redemption, but you can culminate redemption for the Gentile bride.
Right.
Yes. Everybody got that? Bride. The Gentile bride, our culmination will be a body change here in the near future, and that will take care of the Gentile dispensation, but God's eternal redemption will continue on into the future home and all the way through. So Hebrews 9:11. Let's pray before we get started. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this purpose that we have assembled here, Lord. You told us to meet. You told us to meet, Lord, together, and where two or three are gathered in your name, that you will be in the midst. Lord, I believe there's more than two or three gathered today in your name, Father. So may you pour out a blessing that we cannot contain. Father, that our bowl will be full and we'll go home and say, well, it was good that we heard from you today, Lord. Father, we pray that you'd be with the ones that are not here, the ones that are watching online. Sister Mary, the family there, Sister Kathy, we ask you to bless them, Lord. In a time of grief, Father, that you're the Prince of Peace. You're the only one that knows how to take care of each situation, Lord. And I pray that you will do that. Father, we pray that you'd bless the ones here. Take care of us, Lord, through this furtherment of the service. You be the speaker. You be the one doing the revealing. Lord, heal the sick, but mainly, Lord, heal the sin sick.
Yes.
The ones that you watch, Lord, and you watch them go backwards day by day, and we pour our heart out, Lord, but only you will be able to touch them. But Lord, lead us and guide us in a way, Lord, that we'll go down maybe someone's path today and we'll speak something that'll bring a revelation in their heart, Lord, that'll change their life and that it'll change their attitude towards you, Lord. We pray these things, Lord, earnestly because we're coming toward the end of this time of the Gentile dispensation. And Lord, we're showing, Lord, that perfect love is going to have to be on the scene or you're not going to be here, Lord. We pray that you'd just sanctify us, Lord, for this journey. Forgive us of our sins. Bless our pastor. Keep each one of them safe. Lord, that go to church here, Father, and the ones that are in this building today, Lord, just give us an extra strong revelation, Father. We pray these things, Lord, in earnesty in Jesus' name. Amen. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's go to 1 John 4. And what greater a man would know about love than John as in the little Johns, he's been to the Isle of Patmos. He's seen the Antichrist, but he's also seen Jesus Christ. He's seen the bride come to full fruition. He's seen her in Revelations 19 become a wife, not be a bride, but become a wife. And he saw a future home coming down out of the heaven. And now he goes back and he's preaching. You know, Brother Brown said he was the pastor of Ephesus after Paul passed away. He pastored Ephesus church. And I believe he was writing this not only to the Ephesians, but to us. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Because we don't know how to love like God loves. Our filial love and God's love is totally separate. Amen? Totally at the other end, both ends of the spectrum. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You may be seated, and the Lord adds blessing to the reading of the word. We'll continue on into Ephesians. But you look at that, he says, how can you love God whom you have not seen? How many of you have seen Jesus Christ in the flesh? You have not seen the person Jesus Christ, but his characteristic has been from the foundation of the world, written in a Bible, written by prophets, and is given to us in the end time by a prophet. And as we were talking about Brother Ray yesterday, we need to get this right when we're like when you were in a mixed a multitude of people, and we just jump in, and I noticed some of them, Brother Aaron was singing that song, The Original Life, The Original Seed. Well, that's not made for a denominational world. That's not made for you won't hear Baptists singing that in their sanctuary. But we identify with it though. So that's why I was trying to tell them yesterday, you kind of try to soften it up a little bit. And tell them that, you know, you just say, bless God, God sent a prophet. You know, you just dump the whole load on them. You don't need to do that. I was started the sermon by telling the people that Brother Ray accepted John 3:16 first. If you accept John 3:16 first and you ask God this agape love to come into your heart, then you will have to in the end time see that God sent you then, Malachi 4, Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he'll turn the heart back. All right, well now, if you'll do it that way, then don't ever try to go and witness to people about William Branham being a prophet. Because in the end time, you know, you might have got by with that in the 60s because it was fresh on people's mind. They could say, yeah, I know an aunt or I know an uncle. I know somebody that went to the meeting that knew somebody that went to the meeting. We saw the miracles. But now all you see is internet. All you see is, you know, if somebody say William Branham's name, oh, well, you just put anybody's name in and Google it and you're going to get something. All right. Well, you put his name in there now and you're not going to get a lot of the good. But if you'll get them to Jesus Christ, that's what the prophet said. He said, I'm afraid we're not getting them to Christ. We're getting them to a doctrine. Well, if Christ is not in this message, you know what I'm saying. If Christ is not the centerpiece of this message, then it's nothing. It's just reading the books, just like Clarence Larkin or some other great person that spoke and you know, you say, well, what is it? But no, get them born again first. Do that right instead of shaking a hand as the Baptists do or the sprinkling as the Methodists do and the different ones. Get them born again. See that they need to be baptized in the right way of Christian baptism. And then you start talking to them maybe a little bit about the message of the hour because you don't want to choke people. Well, that's what we've done. Brother Dick always made a outstanding statement, very simple. He said, I bruised a lot of fruit, which means he talked to a lot of people that, you know, if you treat fruit really rough, it doesn't last long. It gets bruised. Here we in the South, you take a nanner. Everybody know what a nanner is? Close to a mater. Mater and a tater. You take a banana though, and you buy it, you know, and you throw it against the wall, and you throw it down on the counter. Well, it's not going to last long. Well, that's what Brother Dick was talking about he was doing. He was trying to really force the message onto this real soft fruit, and he bruised a lot of fruit. And I would say Brother Tom Fulbush did the same thing. But you know what? It's your zeal. It's your zealous to tell them about it, but you got to tell them about Jesus Christ first. Right. And number one, you got to live the life before the people because they're going to watch it. All right. So that's why we look here. We say, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Now, how can we have a chart today, or how can we have a Bible? How can we have quotes? Unless we have seen the manifestation of this man that had this plan of eternal redemption. That it was in his mind before the foundation of the world, and that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and that everything was taken care of before the foundation of the world in the mind of God. But now Jesus Christ had to literally come down to this earth and be crucified on a cross in these first three dimensions that we've been talking about, or that would not be fulfilled. Because everything that's in the mind of God has to be fulfilled. Right. Amen? Right. So we see now, though, the manifestation of that man that hung on the cross. Because if you don't have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, you haven't got the person. Right. So you don't act like the person. Right. All right? And the person's characteristics is the Bible. Yeah. All right? Has everybody got that? And it's really simple. I wanted to start off like that first, though, because I want us to be able to talk to people about the Lord and get them solid in the Lord. Then give them the message. Then give them, have you ever read Malachi 4? And they'll probably say, yes, I've read it, but that's Elijah for over yonder, or that's Elijah for here, or that's Elijah John the Baptist. No, and then you just start piecing it together for them, and it becomes a beautiful picture. I think sometimes we try to slam dunk it, you know, and it's not going to happen like that. We don't want to bruise so many fruits. So let's go to Ephesians 1 as we were speaking last Sunday and read verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children. Now, Brother Dale's been on adoption. We've talked about adoption. We need to have that on our heart and our mind, because it's not just that we're born again. We have to come to full maturity. Yeah. Amen. And coming to full maturity comes by Jesus Christ obtaining this eternal redemption for us. Right. As Brother Ray passed on, he was part of that plan, but he had to leave something here. The cucklebur had to stay. The shell had to stay, because it got caught in the first three dimensions, as we were talking about. We all got caught in these first three dimensions after Jesus, or after Adam, the first Adam, sold us out. We were stuck in these first three dimensions. And even Adam, his own body, I was thinking about this last night, and we're going to go through this in just a minute. But have you ever thought about after Calvary and after the day of Pentecost? There's not, it's so clear where everybody goes when they pass away.
But now if you go to the Old Testament, you have an Enoch. What happened there? I don't know. The prophet said he didn't know. Right. Elijah, carried away in a chariot.
Right.
Moses, he died but he didn't die. They can't find his body. You see, that all happened in the Old Testament. But when we come to the New Testament, when Christ come and fulfilled all the law and the prophets and gave us a new testimony, then we were very clear about where we were going because the man that had designed the plan was standing on earth. And he said, okay, if you believe in me and you know, even if you die, that you're going to be where I am. All right. But now Enoch and Moses and Elijah in the Old Testament under the blood of bulls and goats, as we mentioned many times before, that we see that there was it was kind of a little, you're under the law and it was paradise and the men were old and you understand, you see what I'm saying? But that had to be part of the plan. But let's not spend so much time wondering where Enoch is, because I believe we'll see him. I don't worry about where Moses and Elijah is. And remember, it's not the literal Moses and Elijah that goes into the two witnesses. It's the two spirit of Moses and the spirit of Elijah that's going to enter into these two prophets. And they're going to preach after we leave. So let's not worry so much about that. They can't come until we leave. So we got to get ready to get out of here first. And then as we get ready to get out of here, he can go to the Jews. Let's read verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. I want to read you a quote here in just a minute that'll help us on that. You know, we know Jesus Christ came and we know he died in human flesh. But let me read you something. Only a prophet could say this the way he said it. Verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he has purposed in himself, that in a dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And we talked about that before, and we'll not go over this again. We're going to carry on so we don't have to go over these same scriptures we've been reading for 16 times, and I hope it's not bored you because I get something out of it every time I read it.
Amen.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now remember what I told you, Brother Brown said, Jesus didn't come to bring you your inheritance. In other words, what's Brother Brown saying? He's saying that Jesus didn't come down here on earth to develop a plan.
Right. Yeah. Right.
He already had the plan.
Right. 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 Right.
He came to get us back to the plan
because
he was the plan maker. But that's what Brother Ram was saying. He said, no. He said, Jesus didn't come to bring you inheritance. He didn't, because your inheritance was before the foundation of the world. He came to make a way for you to get back to your inheritance.
Right.
Amen? And that inheritance, by the new birth, it comes into your soul, but still there's a piece, because we were stuck in three dimensions, there's still a piece of you that's got to stay here. I wanted to get into that yesterday, but I didn't want to take up too much time of where there's terrestrial bodies and celestial bodies, and even Paul, you know, talking about being absent in the body and being present with the Lord, but now I'm present with you guys and I can't be with the Lord. He couldn't be in human. No, what was Paul saying? I cannot be in human flesh and be where the Lord is. I'm going to have to drop this part to go see God. So to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. See, that's what Brother Ray did yesterday. He became absent in the body, human body, Kuckleburr, had to stay here, his shell, so that he could be present with the Lord. He can't carry all those pieces together yet. There's only one reason, immortality. Jesus had to go to a cross, die, death, burial, resurrection. He had to go to hell, then he had to resurrect. He had to come back on the day of Pentecost so that you and I can develop the rest of this plan. Has everybody got that? Amen? And the longer y'all sleep, the longer I'm going to preach. My heavens, people, come on. You can put a movie on and watch it for 3 hours. Never get up and pee or nothing. You just sit there.
That's right.
Did you see that? Run that back.
Come on.
Some of y'all can't sit here 15 minutes without either going to sleep or going to take the bathroom. We'll discuss that in just a minute, too. And then I don't like to do my riling in front of the service. I want everybody to laugh and have a good time and then smack you on the rear end as you go out the door, in other words, by saying words like that. Brother Dale just hammers you on top of the head, and then he preaches to you. Brother Claude said one time, he said, I know there was some heads hit the floor that day. But that's what a pastor's supposed to do. Thank goodness he's a pastor. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now what, we obtained an inheritance. Brother Ray obtained an inheritance. And the reason we use him, because he just passed away, but he obtained that inheritance by the new birth. But he has to wait for something else to develop because he had to leave a piece of him here. That's why you have dimensions. That's why God said, and I'll get to that. Well, I'll do it now. You know, Genesis 1:26. What is that? That's the new birth. That is perfect love. That is God's children. Whatever God saw and said, let us make man in our own image. Now that couldn't develop. It could developed in Adam. It developed in Eve. Is that everybody right? Say amen. But that had to be closed up until the day of Pentecost. Then when the first martyr, Stephen, when he was martyred, that Genesis 1:26 developed in the sixth dimension. Everybody got that? So everything, Brother Luis, in that, if you say, what's the sixth dimension? It's the Genesis 1:26 man that has not come to full maturity. Because what happened here is, God said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, and we're going to have a group of children. And that group of children is going to develop. And they're my children. But what happened in the fall, that piece of that children, those children could not develop because of what Adam and Eve did. So we had to come down here, become flesh, and have babies by sexual desire. But God never did away with this part of Genesis 1:26, man. The picture, Brother Brown said, God took a picture. See, now God never took a picture of Donnie Fallbush at 71. He said real one. That's not what he took of, if, and I'm saying if, for you, not for me, if Brother Donnie was part of that Genesis 1:26 man, he never took this picture. This picture is not so. This picture was never developed in the eternal mind of God. That 92-year-old woman that received the new birth that he saw in that sixth dimension as a young 20-year-old woman. He never took a picture of her at 90 years old, 92 years old. He took a picture of her when she got the new birth. Everybody okay with that? When she got born again, that picture developed. The old 90-year-old woman left, died, and the new 20-year-old moved in. Everybody all right with that? That's what happened at your new birth. It wasn't just God just, well, God just lit my soul up. No. His soul is now your soul. Right. Amen. Your soul is now his soul. Right. You, and he can't develop an old person. Right. That Genesis 1:26 man could not develop, though it was before the foundation of the world, though it was 6 or 8,000 years ago. It was just as fresh today as it was when he spoke it. Right. But he knew the plan of redemption was going to have to happen. He knew there was going to have to be death, burial. He knew there was going to have to be sorrow, and there was going to have to be pain. But he was there to heal the people. He was there to be the Prince of Peace. But he said, I'll just put him right over here. Yeah. You know, there was a death angel standing next to Brother Ray the other night. He said, you're going with me. No, you know what spoke? That new birth. That Genesis 1:26 man spoke. That little white light, Brother Brown said, that little button that you get when you get born again, it's like a little button you get in your soul. He said, that's what spoke the other night. And Brother Ray, if you could have heard what he said, he said, no, I'm not going with you. He said, I know where I am going, and you're not going with me. Because there's no death in there. We said, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, well, you better be dead tonight. You better be dead today. If you die a natural death without Christ, you will not rise again, except in the second resurrection, which will be down the road. Then you'll have to give an account of what you do. But that's what God did. But now listen to this. Let's go to our first quote. Only mature Christians know these things. People have probed all during the, since the beginning of time, they probed it. Where does man go? Even Job, not born again. Job, though being having a little prophetic vision, he could see the tree die, the grass die, and all these different things. And he could see them come back up every spring, just like we do now. We see it come back up. He said, but now man, he says, I see man go to the ground. He said, but I don't see man raised back up. Where does man go? Oh, that you'd hide me, Lord. Oh, that, and then all of a sudden he said, ah, there's a plan. Because that Elihu came to Job, and all them other three spent their time accusing him. Right? His three friends was just accusing him of being everything in the world, but that fourth man came up and he said, I'm going to speak just a little bit different than the rest of them. He said, Job, stand up on your feet. Quit crying. Quit crying. Quit crying. Let's get some adoption here. And then when, now he didn't come to adoption like we do, but when he come though to the fullness of his journey, he turned around and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And not only the revelation of that I'm going somewhere, but I'm going to come back here and in my flesh, I'm going to see God. I hope the people of the message can see that, because half of them don't believe that you're going to get that same body back again. But what a great miracle that God can take this old cockabur and just change the atoms of it. I mean, it would be really easy, though, to just throw this one out. And as I said before, that a lot of people, and I heard a preacher preach it one time, that, you know, the Bible says walk out on the ashes of the wicked. Well, that's because this wicked thing, you're going to walk out on your own ashes. That ain't happening to me. God thought enough of me to preserve me. As you were reading that, the other, hide me in your pavilion until the storm pass. Brother Ray is hid. I believe that when Satan, he will be right at your ear. If you pass away, he's going to be right at your ear saying, you ain't going to make it. You ain't nothing. I got you. I'm going to kill you. Until the dimension gets a little bit faster. And then Brother Ray disappeared. And then the devil's running around looking for where'd he go. Cause there's no kindred spirit. There's no connection to that sixth dimension. So God is hiding them in their pavilion. And I didn't say this yesterday, but I was thinking about it last night. You know, we call everybody's name. You know, I call Brother Eugene Collins, and we call Richard Marlowe and the different ones, Brother Dick. But you know, Brother Brown's there too. And as the vision showed, they were gathered with him. So Brother Ray, I know there's one thing for sure. They was two little men met each other. Amen. There was two little guys met each other, and they were running around a rock somewhere. And Brother Ray says, I know what you mean now. This is it. See, that's real, folks. That's not a fairy tale. There might have been a lot of people yesterday thought we were just idiots and that it's just a fairy tale, that this is what, we don't know about this afterlife thing. We just die and we don't know nothing about it. But you and I, by this prophet coming in the end time and showing us this whole plan and how perfect it is and how complete it is, but he's got to have somebody in the end time to speak that, though. It's not just going to develop by itself. The plan needs players. Amen. You can have the best football plan in the world or the basketball plan or whatever you want to do. You can plan that baby out and you can write your X's and your O's and you can put all this going in this direction. But what do you need, son? You need people. You need ball players to what? Suit up. Learn the plan book. Learn the playbook. So that when it's time to play the game, you know what you're talking about. Brother Brown says, tell me, my brother, tell me, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? When were there ever a time in all of history? All of history. To deliver all nature. Because Brother Ray's nature, you wonder what I mean, what he was born, his shell had to stay here. Because he was born naturally. Amen? He was born naturally. So that nature of that had to stay here. But nature, the nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of manifestation. Why? Before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, before all the Old Testament on down, there couldn't have been manifestation. Think about that though. Look at how God took the children of Israel. What a manifestation they had. What about a God? What about a God that knew there was only two people going to make it out of them 2 million that come out of Egypt? And he never complained about, I mean, sure, there was a lot of things he did, a lot of plagues, but he still was like, come on, let's go. I'm going to make your clothes not wear out. I'm going to make your shoes grow with your body. I'm going to feed you every day. If you complain about water, I'm going to not just give you a trickle. I'm going to give you an artesian well, and the thing's going to follow you.
Right.
Follow you.
Right.
Where's that water? Well, there it is. I need some. There it is. But he knew only two people was going to make it, yet God said, all right, come on. When you get in the promised land, this is what I want you to do.
Right.
What a great God we serve.
Amen.
On down, it had to wait till this time. Now all things has been brought, coming, shaping up to a headstone, to the manifestation of sons of God coming back, and the Spirit of God coming into these men, not one man, these men, so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ that it'll join him and his church together. So what are we under today, brothers and sisters? We're not under the ministry of presuming. We think when we go to heaven this is going to happen. We think there's going to be 7 year tribulation. We think that Father, Son, Holy Ghost is the right baptism. We think there is an eternal hell. That's what they're thinking out there. Because the devil's got them so confused. But listen, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, there was not one thing unpure about his message. His message was pure and unadulterated, straight to the people that hated him.
Right.
So Brother Brown says, until then, ministry will be so close like Christ. What? We know there's no eternal hell. We know the correct baptism. We know where people go when they die. We know where people go when they die and without Christ. We know where God is.
Right.
It's not a hope.
Right.
We have an assurity.
Yes. Glory.
That if you're born again, there's where God is.
Amen.
Yes. I wrote myself a note. You know, Christ, Brother Brown said Christ didn't know, Jesus Christ didn't know all things. Now, Christ did.
Right.
Oh.
That's right.
Jesus Christ learned by the things he suffered. He was made perfect. Why? Because he was a human body. He was a human being, had a human brain, but what lived inside of him was not part of Christ, it was Christ.
Right. Amen.
Amen. All of Christ. And Brother Brown said then though, after the death, burial, and resurrection, he knew all things. So now since we see that picture develop, Brother Luis, we're not looking back at that Christ that walked on the shores of Galilee and see that he had a human body and it was dying and he didn't know about his second coming. That's what the prophet said. Said Moses and Elijah on the mountain was telling Jesus about his second coming. There was things that was withheld from him. But now, he's out of the tomb. He's already immortal. He's in the seventh dimension. He's got an eternal body. He knows all things. Now what's he going to send back on the day of Pentecost? Something that knows just a little bit? Is he going to send now, though, in the end time where the fullness of all things has got to come, the headstone himself has got to come? You think he's going to leave a piece out?
No.
That's the problem. There was pieces left out during the seven church ages. I'm going to say seven. All seven church ages, there was things that was left out. But now we are living in Bible prophecy. We are living the Bible. We are not looking back. We're not looking forward. Brother Brown said, you need to look at what's going on right now.
Amen.
Why? Because Bible prophecy is being fulfilled right now.
Right.
Today, we are living under the fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Right.
But now so is the world. So is the world. They're living under Bible prophecy, but they're living under a different prophecy than you are. Because you are a prophetic being. You are able to contact that prophetic God, get prophetic insight, be able to understand what God's telling you, where the world's not going to get that. The world is not going to get that prophetic. They're going to get the prophecy. They're going to get what's written in this book. But so are we. But the difference is, we're born again, and we can't die, and God can't judge us. We've already been judged. But He's going to judge the world by the prophecy that He wrote in this book right here. Amen? So the ministry of Jesus Christ, folks, is not coming. It's not going to the Jews. It's right here. You say, yeah, it's going. Let them have their part. Let's get our part first. Let's believe that the ministry of Jesus Christ is here, that there is no... You say, well, now, see, and here we go. But you go to ministers' meeting, the first thing people tell you, they throw up, they say, well, they don't throw up, but they throw this up to you. That sometimes I would like to throw up for some of the things that they say, but that don't make me... Amen, Aaron, Aaron's heard it, we've heard it. I mean, we've like, what? Where did you eat that at? I'm not going to that restaurant.
Yes, come on.
In type, not a real restaurant, in type. Where did you eat that at? That makes me sick. But that's what we're letting. Somebody has got to preach the pure, unadulterated word of God.
Amen.
Not one word off.
Glory.
What Brother Dale said about the fivefold ministry. It's for the what? Perfecting of the saints. Not the perfecting of Jesus Christ. He's already perfect. But for the perfecting of the saints that we can come to adoption. I saw a little snippet in there a few minutes ago. Brother Keith Reed, you can watch him online and on Facebook. And I was watching him a few minutes ago. But he was. It's not something to come, folks. It's here. This manifestation is here now. And like I said before, some people are missing it. Me and somebody was talking yesterday. Some people are literally missing it and sitting right here in the seat. And you try and try and try, but only God can change you. Only God can change me. But there has got to be. I would love for people to begin hunting the truth.
Right.
Instead of being, I'm talking about you.
Right.
I'm talking about you.
Right.
All of you.
Right.
You need to hunt the truth. The truth's not going to come to you.
Right.
You got to have a desire because God will only, what? He'll only deal with your desire.
Right.
What you desire.
Amen.
Well, I'm fine because I'm in this person's church and he's like the number two people on YouTube, and he's got 800 people in his church. He's got to be right. I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying, why do we use those markers? Where the church of Ephesus had 12 people in it. Paul passed away and John took over. And pastored till he was 90-something years old. You got a long time left, buddy. You got a long time left. Probably toward the end, he was just, love everybody. But you know what? He kept his same message, though, from when that man went over to the Isle of Patmos and got that revelation, the book of Revelation. He didn't lose that. But you know what, though? He could only tell us about it. Because there was a part he couldn't write. He saw it. He was commissioned to write what he saw, not to interpret, write what he saw. He began to write the thunders. He saw what they were, began to write them down, and God said, nope. Hold it right there. But in the days of the voice, of the seventh angel. Because remember, right there in Revelation 10, about 5, is when he told John not to write. Then he comes down in 10:7 and says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound his message, and his message, remember, was not in the years of preparation. His message was from 63 to 65, opening the seals that no one had ever even looked in part of the book. You couldn't even look on the book, much less look in the book. And he became heavily unpopular at the time. He was very popular before then. But after that, he became very unpopular. So I'm wondering why. Money, women, and popularity. Why'd Brother Brown tell us to stay away from those three things? Because they'll get you every time. Because the devil's in money, the devil's in women, and the devil's in popularity, and the anointing of the good part of that and the bad part of that's about that far apart. You think about that. Ministers, we know that. But we're living today in Bible prophecy. Amen? Everybody all right with that? And so we know that the four dimensions are light, time, matter. Fourth dimension is what we're dealing with as far as radio waves. I'm just going to go through this real quick. The sixth dimension. Now, Brother Brown said he went to the fifth dimension and he went to the sixth dimension. So he saw both sides of the spectrum. The fifth dimension, we know what that is. That's the sinner dead. That's the ones that go there. And I believe, according to what I can see of what Brother Brown was talking about, they don't get any kind of good treatment over there. They don't get turned back to a 20-year-old. They stay their same age. And they're hurting, and I believe they're not going through any kind of bliss like Brother Ray's going through right now. I mean, why would we strive so much? Why would we, according to Revelation 8, why would we groan within ourselves? Listen, do you not groan as you get older? You groan anyway. Oh, when you get out of the bed. Oh, when you get up out of the chair. Trying to make a point. But as we get older in God, we should groan. Paul said, groan to be clothed with that house, not made by hands. But Revelation 8 tells that we groan within ourselves. What? That inside person is 20 years old and eternal. This outside guy, it's like I said, it's groaning every day. But our spiritual groaning should be what? I'm not in my right condition. I'm not in my right place. This is not, how could you take even Jesus, even at the Garden of Gethsemane, Brother Brown said that's where he really fought it out. He didn't fight it out at Calvary.
Right.
He fought it out in the garden because the garden is where he said, let this cup pass from me.
Right.
He could have turned and said, no, I don't want to do that.
Right.
But he fought it out in his humanity, but knowing he was eternal God. Listen, they wasn't a day. They might have been things he didn't know, but there's one thing he did know. He was God.
Right.
He knew who his daddy was. He knew who he was.
Right.
And he didn't have a different personality.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
He was the same God.
Amen.
But that sixth dimension, let's go all the way to number four if you don't mind, brothers. The countdown. Now the sixth dimension is Christ, the saints, the dead saints, our resting saints who is completely work finished on earth and has entered into rest with Christ under the altar beautifully. Everybody got, okay. Now the sixth dimension. That's where Brother Ray is. That's where Brother Branham is. That's where all the ones that you saw. And what did they scream out when, cause Brother Branham, listen, Brother Branham was, I say, confused in his humanity. He wasn't confused in his doctrine. Cause he said, you gotta remember, when you look at this dream, and I thought about this the other day, Brother Branham sometimes had to pinch himself. Remember him? He said, I had to pinch myself whether I was in that dimension or this dimension. Everybody got that? Some of y'all have to pinch yourself to stay awake in this dimension. But he had to pinch himself. Why? Because he was in both worlds. He was looking at demons flying across the congregation. He said, you see that that black streak going across from that person to the other? He said, that demon is screaming to that demon over there. Looking for help because they know they're going to be exposed. How many of y'all have ever been? You ain't. How many of you have ever been in a congregation? I don't know, want to know what you're thinking about me right now. But Brother Ram couldn't know every one of your thoughts. He said, hey. He said, I caught that. Yeah. What was he doing? He was hearing literally what they were saying in their mind. But he gets so cross and he steps and he says, I don't know if it was a vision. I don't know if it was a dream. He said, but I look back. See, I believe in during his life, there was never a time that he separated from his body. Everybody got that? There was a time when all the visions he see, he was in his body, his human body. But see, this one, he either had some kind of something happened and he said, I was standing there and he said, I turned and looked and there was my body. He'd never had that done before, so he didn't know. He said, I don't know if it was a vision. I don't know if it was a dream or what. But now he was clear when he figured out what was going on. Because when he touched his hair, he said, oh, I got hair. Oh, this is the inside of me. This is what I look like when I ain't in that. Right. Amen? He was in that Genesis 1:26 body. That was in that old body, but God let him separate. Why? For one purpose. Not for him. Now, you know, he said, now I wondered about it and I don't wonder about it no more. See, even the prophet of God, he thought, what? The old way of thinking. Hello, Brother Neville. Hello, Brother Tony. You know, he said, you passed by. He said, you couldn't shake their hand. Remember, that's what he thought. So God showed it to him, but you know what? God showed it to me and you. Because see, I use that example all the time, even in my own self. There's a place I'm going to go. Amen. So what fear does that take? That takes it. Now, the little bit of fear of death, walking down the valley of the shadow of death, but there's a light there. Right. Knowing that I'm born again, doesn't matter if I fall dead in the next 2 seconds. I'm going to be standing with Brother Ray and them in eternal body, waiting to come back here. Because even they told him, they said, we don't eat here. Right?
That's right. Amen.
They were telling him, look, we don't eat here. We don't drink water here. But we're waiting to go back and get our human body. Oh, why can't people read that even in the message? I mean, if you were just going to get a new body, just boom, get it right there. But they told Brother Branham, we got to come back and pick up our body. Because we don't eat. Your theophany doesn't eat, but your body does.
Amen.
That's why they're not going to be complete without me and you.
Right.
Not going to be complete without us. Because their part of their being is still right here. Part of their natural world is right here. And I'll cover that in just a minute. I don't want to go through paradise again. We've done been through that. Let's go to perfect love. Let's go to number 6. Where's his perfect love? I'll go ahead and read. I believe I was caught in the 6th dimension, looking back down here and could see back. The sight isn't exactly with the eyes, that's earthly. But sight is a greater thing than the sight that you have there. Their contact is far beyond any contact that our natural senses would contact. And remember number 7, he talks about being perfect love.
Right.
Now look at number 8. Let's read this one. Because I want to bring out this point. I was thinking about yesterday and I added it in last night or just a few minutes ago. The first is perfect love. Let's go to number 7. I mean, number 8. I'm sorry. The first is perfect love. That's God's love.
Yeah.
Pure and unadulterated. The next comes in there is filial love. See, the filial love had to develop when Adam said, she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now listen, that was agape love speaking, because they had the same theophany. Right? She was in him, just separated the feminist part out, right? So they two were truly one. But see, that's never going to happen again naturally. Because of what they did. There was another seed injected in there that was not supposed to be there. So now you got the Genesis 1:26 man though, even though June or myself or Brother Ray and Sister Kathy lived 40 something years together, they never were a complete one person. But Brother Ray is over in another dimension and he is in his condition of perfection. But watch this. The first is perfect love. That's God's love, pure and unadulterated. The next comes in there is filial love. That's love that you have for your wife and your children. But now you have to be careful. Now, Bob or Luis or somebody or Aaron, y'all need to preach on this, okay? No, there's different, even filial love. There's different love past filial love because I don't have the same filial love I have for June. I can't have for my granddaughter. That's perverted. But it is filial love. It is a, it, listen, filial love is a temporary love. It's not eternal. Filial love was given to man because you go down to Eros and you go to lust and all the different other things. And a lot of that has to do with our human being part of us to procreate with. Everybody got that? But filial love is temporary. It was given to us in this dimension because here's my point. Let me read my note. You cannot take filial love over there. You can't take your filial, even though Brother Ray loves Sister Kathy, you may prove it. Brother Branham said, here comes my first wife. Hope. Died when she was about 20 years old, right? Said, oh, I knew she was just going to come up and say, hey, husband, God bless you. He said, she hugged my neck and said, my precious brother, and walked off.
Right, exactly.
Why? He loved her with filial love in this dimension, but when she passed into the other dimension, filial love went away. That's why Brother Brown said that jealousy, there's no jealousy, there's no jealousy in agape love. There's jealousy in filial love and all the other kinds of love, but there's none of that. But you can't take that. Only agape love. What? Brother Brown said only perfect love will be there. But now listen. Let me bring a point to you. There is a time, though, that Brother Branham pulls and brings in another vision that he had. Everybody okay with this? Now remember, he's looking at this vision in 1960. His wife's passed away. He didn't see his new wife, so she was, because she wasn't dead yet. I've had people preach and said, well, everybody was there. Well, now he didn't say he saw Meaty. He didn't say he saw Bill Dow. He didn't say he saw all the ones that were still alive. He saw the ones that had went on from that point back. Everybody got that? Amen? Thank God. Because, you know, a lot of people, now here we go again. A lot of them old people said, Brother Branham said he saw me, and he did. He says it on the tape. He said, I saw y'all there, or I saw you there. He didn't see them. He saw the people of his message there. At that time, because the people that were still sitting there, their theophany was right there. It wasn't over there and here at the same place. Amen? But Sister Hope comes across, though, says, my precious brother, and walks off. Now, Brother Branham knows that was his wife, because he's still connected back to the filial love body that's laying on the bed. I hope this will help you something, because it helped me. But now watch. Now, they are not totally complete without us.
Right.
Pay attention just for a minute. I'll just quit right here. We won't do this no more. We'll stop right here. There is perfect love. But now somewhere when they come back and pick up this body and it's redeemed, Brother Branham has another vision of getting his reward. Remember? He said he feels one grab him on the arm on this side and one grab him on the arm on this side.
Amen.
And he said, I knew and they knew we had been married in the previous life. And we walk up the steps to get my reward with Hope and Mita, knowing that they were husband and wife in this time. Somewhere they picked up something. If you'll read, who is this Melchizedek, Brother Brown will tell you. There's a spirit part of you that's withholding somewhere. Because he said the soul will connect with the spirit and then connect with the body.
Right.
See, when they're across the curtain of time, Hope was in her theophany. She did not have that natural spirit that had that natural love for William Branham. Or she would have identified him when she was there.
Right.
But when she comes and picks up her body, that spirit has got to come back on them because Brother Brown said, you're not going to be husband and wife over there, but you know you were husband and wife here. Well, something changed. We're going to know it. Thank God for this revelation.
Glory.
It makes the whole plan so plain. And you don't have to worry. Well now, because look, if you take that, that's what I was thinking. I love my wife. You love your wife. You love your husband. You'd give your life for them. And if they're born again, that's good. But if you take that one situation in 1960, I'd be a little bit disappointed. If I went across a curtain of time, and there I saw June, and she just comes up and says, oh, my precious brother, and walks off. I'd be like, I mean, really, think about it. But then you see the next vision, or not the next, very next vision, but he sees the other vision that clarifies the whole thing. Because he said, they're already in the glorified body. They're getting ready to go up and get his reward, whatever that reward is. But there's hope. He said, there's Mita. He said, remember, he said, I always wondered. He said, hope was a little jealous. Remember that? Look it up. Hope was a little bit jealous. I was wondering when she grabbed one arm and here Mita, because see, they knew each other on earth. Because as soon as she died, he wasn't very long until he married Sister Mita. But all the jealousy was gone. But they had picked up a spiritual part of them that could remember what happened on earth. See, that brought the plan together. So now I know that I'll be connected with June for an eternity. And see, that makes me happy. Now I don't have to go running after her no more. Same way with you. Godly man, godly wife. You're there for an eternity. Your filial love, though, has nothing to do with that new birth. I read it before. Brother Brown says that you can love with your spirit and not love God. You can love God with your spirit and not have your soul be just as black as soot. So you better be careful. Now look on the other end of the spectrum. There's a lot of people that's going to live their whole life married, never born again, and that's just going to go away. You say, that's cruel. No, it's not cruel. They got the same opportunity you do. That's not cruel. That's God being a judge. But think about what God gave me and you folks. If he give you a godly wife or he gave you a godly husband, oh, come on.
Amen.
Becca, think about it. Margaret's going to be there. Might have been a little bit of jealousy, but not over there. Not over there. No. It'll be a perfect bliss that you'll never even worry about what that so much went on down here. Because all that, you know, the Bible tells us that the former things will be passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, listen, you say, well, now, the former things will be done. I won't know what I did. No, you're going to know what you did down here. Because you're going to have a testimony. Just like our sisters, you're going to have testimony. Your testimony is what's going to go with you. Because that 90-year-old woman, she still had her testimony even in her theophany. She said, you're a great leader. We were waiting on you to get here.
Right.
We're going to go back and get our bodies. And then we're going to come back. Jesus is going to come and get you. She was preaching to the prophet.
Right.
This 90-year-old woman. But she was in her theophany.
Right.
The Genesis 1:26 was and is perfect love.
Glory.
And it was situated in God's mind before the foundation of the world. A piece of God that no one else can get to. Satan can't find it. Satan can't be a part of it.
Right.
Nobody can be a part of it but his bride. The ones that he saw. That he saw that took it. And lived it. Let me read quote number 14. You can't love with your body. You love with your spirit. That's one of the endless. And you can love and even love God and still not be right. Listen, that's why you have to realize what Brother Brown was talking about. He said, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, watch his terminology, on your spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell.
Right.
But you can't have the new birth and die and go to hell.
Right.
They're so close, but they're so far apart. Because
right.
You can be at what? What's anointed ones? They're anointed by the true, genuine Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But they've never had an intimate. They've never had a agape love
right.
with God Almighty. They've just took what the filial love is and made it, tried to make it
right.
agape love. Brother Brown said in quote number 15, he said, real genuine love will create a confidence in his word.
Right.
You don't put your, listen, I don't put my confidence in that Jen loves me and that's going to put me in heaven. My confidence is that God loves me. That God loved me and I'm loving him back, and that's what's going to put me into heaven.
Glory,
right. Amen? Real genuine love will create a confidence in his word. Let me read this. We won't get to the chart. Sister Julie, hang on to that chart. Thank you. She's got it in her hand. Because we'll get to it next time. Is that all right? Well, I want to read these quotes and we'll be done. Position of a believer, 1955. Listen to this. Under the law, under the shadows, they entered in under the shedding of the blood of goats and bulls, which we went through, which could not take away sin. It was the life of an animal. How could the life and spirit of a dead animal coming out of the blood of life, the cell of life, breaking forth the blood that was shed, ever that life ever return back into an animal? In other words, it can't come into you. It can't even go back into another animal. But watch this. This is the part that I'd read, and it just really makes you think what God did for us. Listen to this. Or to a man, the life of a lamb, of a heifer, of a goat, or an animal that's been sacrificed. After the blood has been broken for our sins, that's why it never returns back and having anything to do with a human being, it could not. Watch this. But God, before the foundation of the world, foreordained that Jesus would come, the perfect Lamb of God, into a perfect cell that God created himself, or God himself created, look, to bring blood into the world. To bring blood into the world.
Right.
Human blood, but the blood of Almighty God.
Right.
To bring blood into the world, to offer that blood. And if you turn that down in this hour, I love that to that sinner that was in that blood cell with his love. That was the love of God, is that he made himself a human being. He made himself a blood cell. That not only he could die for you, but he could come back and get inside of you. With that love and the Holy Ghost himself, after that offering of that man, can come back and possess a believer. He bought eternal redemption. Now, did you get that? Now, see, through the blood, washing of the blood, taking away, separating of sin, that the Holy Spirit woos the believer through the blood, cleansing of the soul into fellowship, into this spirit life, inside with Christ, shut out with the world. And look, very nature of God is in you.
Right.
Still subject to mistakes. But God can't see it.
Oh, glory.
How many of you is carrying mistakes today? Why? I'm going to ask you one more time. Why? Why? Because it's covered by the blood. God can't see it. God can't see through the blood. Every time he looks through the blood, it looks white. He looks through the blood, it looks white. So if God was so pleased with Christ till he accepted him and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, and through Christ being the perfect one, us dead to our own thoughts and ideas, being born of the Spirit of God, walking not after theology or hope or maybe so, but after the Spirit inside of us, then let the dead in Christ walk not after the things of the world. I've been telling y'all for years, the dead in Christ is not the Brother Ray over there. You died here.
Right.
Amen. after the Spirit. Let the dead in Christ walk not after the things of the world, but after the things of the Spirit. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Look, though, that walk not after the flesh, fighting, war, strife, envying, selfish things, but after the Spirit. A couple more. Listen to this. Hebrews series, 1957. Neither by the blood of goats, calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place. This is where we've been reading. Having obtained eternal redemption. Do you get it? Eternal redemption for us. Not to be redeemed today, and then next week when the revival starts, be redeemed again. And then, oh, we backslide and be redeemed again. You're redeemed once, forever. That's right. No more redeem, redeem, redeem. Eternal redemption. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall never come to the judgment, but hath, past tense, passed from death into life. Because he was shook. Because he was baptized a certain way. Because he had blood in his hand. Because he has believed on... Scroll up, please. Because he has believed on the only begotten Son of God. Look, that's how we have eternal redemption. Listen to this. Fellowship, 1960. Talk about a super sign. He could have come an angel if he wanted to. He could have come a full, mature man, but a baby over a pile of manure crying. Talk about a super sign. That's real super sign. A baby Jehovah crying as a baby. A super sign. Oh my. Then people saying he's just a prophet. Oh my, the super sign. Jehovah as a boy playing. Jehovah a man toiling in the carpenter shop. Jehovah himself made flesh and dwelt among us. Stretched his tent down here. Made himself a body to live in. To have a blood cell. To have a human blood cell. But inside of that blood cell was not just normal human life. That was eternal life.
Amen.
To have a blood cell, that blood cell could be broken. Hallelujah. That was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world that brings us eternal redemption. The Bible said so. It brought us eternal redemption. We are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which has given us eternal life. How'd he do it? I don't know. I believe he did. But you know what I mean? Let's stand to our feet. Musicians, come. And that's where we're going to get to on the chart, where Jesus comes on earth as a human being. He had to come as a human mortal man. He had to come with humanity. He had to be part of us. He had to be our brother. But now remember, he wasn't sinful. He took on mine and your sin. You say, Brother Wade, that's elementary. Have you ever really looked at that quote, though, that I just read you? He had to create a blood cell. And it had to have eternal life in it to begin with.
Amen.
Listen, Jesus Christ didn't develop eternal life as he got older. Jesus Christ didn't need a new birth.
Right.
He told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you born different than me. You need a new birth.
Right.
You need to be born again. Nicodemus said, I got to go back and get in my mama's womb. No, it just went right over his head.
Yeah.
But you and I, we know what we got to do.
Glory.
If you're not part of that perfect love, then you do have a fearful time.
Right.
Because perfect love casts out fear.
Right.
Let's sing a song.
319.
Let's worship God.
Glory
to the highest strength from day to day. that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Say it to him again. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain.
There's nowhere you can go where there's not God. Anywhere you go, in the lowest valley, he's right there.
Carry us from here all the way into glory. Doesn't matter where you go, you can't be. Once you get covered by the blood, you can't get uncovered. There's no way. There's no way you can get uncovered. You're covered by what? Agape love. We still have to live in filial love. You know that. You know that, and I know that. But the love of God's got to take over sometime, because it'll never lose its power. And he created a blood cell and came down here on earth to die for me and you. That's elementary, but if we ever lose that in the beginning of our Christianity, don't you ever lose that. What Jesus Christ did for you. Don't ever forget that. We sure, we've got the greatest message that since Jesus Christ walked on the face of the earth, right? Greatest message. But we still got to remember Jesus Christ is the message. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you and I could see this plan and see it made manifest in a group of people. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Let's hang on a minute. You know, I was looking the other day, and I'm talking to everybody here. I hope everybody can hear me downstairs. But sometimes, you know, Brother Dale's asked y'all many, many times about how many times that your kids go to the bathroom and how many you disrupt services, and Terrence has said the same thing. Well, from this day forward, we're going to try something different. I read a quote right here where Brother Brown was talking about that woman that fixed herself up. She got ready to prophesy, and he saw her getting ready. Let me read you. He said, "She jumped up. I said, sit down. She started on. I said, sit down. And boy, everybody, I just stopped. She acted like she didn't hear me. She said, I squealed it out. Sit down. She heard it that time. So if you parents can't take care of your kids, if they go out of this sanctuary over one time from now on and I'm preaching, I'm going to make them sit down. You got it? If you're mad with that, then you talk to God about it, because I can keep reading on down here where Brother Brown says you grieve the Holy Spirit by not doing what God said.
Right.
Now listen, an older person, but I tell you what, I had a little trouble with my kidneys, but I would drink coffee before second service. I quit drinking coffee before second service, and I don't have to go to the bathroom. I quit drinking coffee in church before first service, so I'd make sure that my bladder's empty. You say, well, boy, no, I'm not. You've been told. You've been told and told and told. Well, they can do what they want to do. But when I'm preaching up here in second service, if your kid gets up over one time and goes to the bathroom, you're going to hear me say this same thing right here. And if you get mad at it, the prophet said, you grieve the Holy Spirit. He didn't grieve it by screaming at him. You grieved it by not doing what God said. Now, older people, I can understand our bladder gets a little weak when we get older. But now, young kids, no. Ain't having it. There is no excuse.
Right.
Not one.
Right.
You go to the bathroom one time, you better not go again in my service. Yes. I will sit you down. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Okay. Right. That's why I wanted to do it at the end of the service. Yes. God bless you. Listen, we are human beings. But this thing's getting serious.
Right.
Brother Branham says right here, let me read this one thing right here. It says, sister, but you was given the wrong message, sister. Watch this right here. He said, there's one thing wrong with you. Either you were in the flesh or you've got a wrong pastor that trains you that don't know nothing about Scripture. Listen to this. She'd done it three nights in a row. He said, that's wrong. You're out of order. You lost many souls night before last and many last night again, and you've done it the same thing tonight. She was responsible. Now, she got up. She spoke in tongues. Brother Brown said that could have been of the Holy Spirit. He said, but she was out of order.
Right.
She's out of order.
Right.
You lost many souls night before last and many souls last night again, and you've done it the same thing tonight. Brother Branham, I beg your pardon, the preacher said. I said, what do you mean? He said, she had a right to give that message. He said, I was on the platform, and the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets.
Right.
I'm still in the platform. I have the message. So that's what's going to happen from now on. If you can't set them down, I will. Everybody good with that?
Amen.
That's the way it's going to happen from now on to me anyway. If Brother Brown can say sit down and be in line, then I believe I'll be able to do the same thing. Everybody understand that? Am I clear? If you're sick, that's a different story. But two or three times in a service, you need to come up here. Instead of going back under, you need to come up here. We'll pray for you, and then you go do what you need to do. But you can't be getting up in and out of service all the time. And it used to not bother me, but it bothers me now. I lose my train of thought. I'm getting older. I was Brother Dale. He just plows right on, I guess. But I can't do that. But, and you know what? If you grieve the Holy Spirit, then it's your problem. It's not mine. Okay?
Amen.
I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with agape love.
Yeah.
You may be hating me with filial love right now, but like Brother Dale said, look, we're not preaching to your spirit.
Right. Right.
We're preaching to your soul.
Amen.
We want your soul to be right.
Yes. Right.
If your soul's not right, then let's get it right.
Right.
I want us to move on.
Amen.
What if Brother Branham said one child running through the building before the next service can disrupt the whole. He didn't say a little bit. He said disrupt the whole second service.
Right.
Why? The Holy Spirit's in here.
Right.
You say, no, we're out the door. The Holy Spirit's here.
Right.
The devil's here too.
Right.
So why can't the Holy Spirit be here? This is his house. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, we're just trying to prepare ourselves for this last push.
Yes.
I believe that we're right on the brink of something so wonderfully supernatural that the world is going to have to bend and break from the power that is given out by the bride of Jesus Christ. If we're groaning, Lord, that means the world is groaning. We see tornadoes and tsunamis and earthquakes and several volcanoes, they said, is just right now on the brink of exploding there in Mexico and wipe out 10 million people if they both blow up at one time. Lord, this whole world is screaming for the bride to come to perfection. It's screaming for the manifestation of the sons of God where a man can walk out on his porch and say, peace be still, and the storm go away. Or as the prophet did with the bull and different animals, Lord, we saw for a moment, but Brother Branham told us, Lord, he said, what you see in part, you're going to see in its fullness.
Yeah,
it'll be like popcorn popping, fireworks going off in the church. But we can't do that with little sin and little things in our life that we can't get right. But Lord, you can make it right for us if we'll just do as Brother Trevor said, just get on our knees sometime. Humble ourselves before you, Lord. Not just lay in the bed or sit in a chair and pray like we always do. And I do the same thing at night in the bed. But let's hit our knees every once in a while.
Yes.
Let's raise our hands as as the eagles that we are. We need to raise those two wings up and say, Papa, come take us home.
Glory.
If we're too satisfied with this world, Lord, we don't have you inside of us.
Yes.
But Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we're going to leave this world. And we're going to get out of here, and we're going to go. We're going to see Brother Ray again. We're going to see Brother Eugene. We're going to see Brother Dick, Brother Richard Marlowe.
Brother Gary Atkins, all the different ones, Lord, that we've personally been involved with, Lord, we're going to see them in the beauty of perfection, agape love, coming back to this earth again. But Lord, we got to be full of it now. And I pray that you be with us on the highways, be with us, Lord, as we travel. Give us all traveling mercies and be with us as we go to our jobs tomorrow morning. And be back together Wednesday night. Brother Aaron, bring the message to us, Lord. We pray that you'd just sanctify us all. We love each person you know in our heart with the love of the Lord. And we pray that you'd just be with us now. Heal the sick. Be with Brother Danny. Yes. Lord, touch his body. His body's been through a lot the past 10 or 15 years. We know it's a little bit weak, but Father, that doesn't mean anything to you. That means that more of a miracle when our brother comes out of this, that you'll take that broken up body of his, Lord, and you'll restore it back to life again. Father, we pray to be with the ones too that are not with us. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit until we meet again, Father. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Give thee. Spread your wings, little eagles.
So spread.